Joel chapter 2 in your Bibles, please. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We're looking at the difference between confessing and professing Christians. So let me ask you, without you responding verbally, just thinking in your own heart and mind, are you a confessional or professional Christian? Let me define those two terms for the sake of what we're looking at this afternoon. Professional is somebody who makes a profession of salvation. You know what a professional is. They perform for pay. I, for one, like to watch college football over professional football. It's not that I don't like professional football. I like college more. It seems like the college guys are in it for the name. Professionals go where the money is. It's for pay. So it's not that I can call the college guys confessional players, but that would be the category I'd put them in as opposed to the professional football players. So let me again say this. Somebody who is professional does what they do for pay, as far as I'm concerned for this message. It's hired performance. Let's remember that. Hired performance. Confessional is somebody who makes confession of salvation. They say the same thing about themselves as God does. I'm going to call that a heart performance. Do you see the difference now? One is a hired performance. One is a heart performance. Now, look at Joel chapter 2. And we read this in verses 12 and 13. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Now look up here. Has anybody ever turned the tears on here? Are you able to turn the tears on? Have you ever watched perhaps a movie or a television show, and some of those actors and actresses are so convincing. They can just turn it on. And you go, wow. That's almost like this is real to them. Okay? That's verse 12. The Lord says, turn to me. This is opposite of verse 12. Verse 12 says, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. But here's the part. It's verse 13. And rend your heart, not your garments. That's the key of what I want us to see this afternoon. Rip your heart. Tear your heart, not your garments. In the Old Testament especially, a person's grief could be so great, they would take their clothes, their outer garment, and they would rip it. Genuine inward sorrow. I'll give you three examples. Jacob, when his sons brought back the coat of their brother Joseph, and it was bloody, they gave it to the father and said, an evil beast must have torn him apart. And the Bible says Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Let me ask you a question. Was that professional or confessional? It was confessional. That was from the heart. He was not putting on a show. Second illustration is David. We're not going to go to the passage, but it says in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11 that he heard of the death of Saul and Jonathan, and he rent his clothes. Not professional, confessional. Job in chapter 1 and verse 20 hears of the disasters brought upon his property, but then he hears about the deaths of his children, and Job ripped his clothes, his outer garment. Tremendous grief. And yet at some funerals in ancient times, this is what is so interesting, mourners could be hired to make more of a display of grief for the deceased. And it was effective in stirring up everybody's emotions. And so you have professional mourners. You're in Joel. Just go to the very next book, Amos, where we made reference this morning as far as the book. But go to Amos chapter 5. And notice what it says in verse 16. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning. Now notice this last part. And such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. Somebody skilled to mourn. I like the way the New American Standard puts it. They shall also call professional mourners to wailing. Listen to Jeremiah 9, 17 and 18. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider you and call for the mourning women that they may come, and send for cunning women that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush with waters. And so it was an Old Testament practice to have mixed in with the true mourners, the hired mourners. Can you imagine that in our society today? That was a cultural thing. They would hire people to mourn. Why would they do that? So you could call true mourners the confessional mourners. Their hearts are rendered. I mean, when you're in grief, a true grief, your heart is torn. Joel 2:13. Rend your heart. But you could call the hired mourners professional mourners. Their garments would be torn. Now there's a difference between your heart being torn and your garments being torn. Professionals can turn it on and turn it off. Even as kids can turn on the obedience for show and turn it off when there's nobody to see it. Turn it on to make mom and dad look good. Turn it off when they want to do what feels good. I've given you this illustration. I'm going to repeat it. Dr. Phil Schuler was our evangelist. And I was to take him back to Denver, and the boys were just little. And so we got in the van. And I just said, Juanita, let's just take the boys. Let's just all go down with Dr. Schuler and take him back to his house down in Denver. We drove him, and you didn't hear a peep out of my boys. And we got there, and we went with Dr. Schuler into the house, told the boys to stay in the van. We'll be out in a second. And as soon as we got in the house, Dr. Schuler just started. His wife was Marie. Says, Marie, I want you to come out, and I want you to meet these boys. They were so well behaved. And for some reason, she couldn't come out, so he just said, oh, I wish she could do it. Anyway, goodbye, thank you for bringing me down here, and so forth. And we got out to the van and opened the sliding door to a riot that was taking place in the van. And I remember Juanita and I just smiling and say, it was so good that Dr. Schuler didn't come out to see the real Benjamin, Barak, and Jesse and what they really act like when they're not trying to put on a show. My mom used to say that to us boys when we were six of us boys. You know, some you guys can act so well when you get to church. But I know what you're really like. And I know what she was saying. You know, many professors can do the same. They can turn it on and they can turn it off. Come Sunday, they turn it on. Rest of the week, they turn it off. Trying to act like a Christian. I read this in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia about these professional mourners. Quote, no matter how gaily they may be chatting as they approach, when they reach the house, they rush forward, handkerchiefs to their face, sobbing, weeping with utmost demonstrations of grief, going through them time after time as occasion requires. End quote. They can turn it on. I'm going to give you an illustration from the Bible of professional mourners. But I'm not going to do so until we have a song. So Brother Dave, come lead us in a song. I say, why are you doing this, Pastor? To wake some of you up. Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. When you find it, please stand. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. Since Dave didn't have you stand during the song, I'll make you stand now. Go ahead, try to be a horse and sleep while you stand. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 35, something takes place between those verses, but we're going to skip that and go to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the what? A tumult. And them that wept and wailed greatly. There's professional mourners here. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this what? Ado? Somebody's just died, Jesus, and you're saying, why are you making this ado? Well, that's because that's what they're doing. Why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now notice their response. Verse 40 out loud, please. And they laughed him to scorn. You may be seated. They laughed him to scorn. See, here's people who are moments earlier wailing, and now they're laughing? Professional mourners. You see the emotions of the confessionals at this. Jairus, the father of this little girl, his emotions were genuine. The emotions of these professionals, manufactured. And yet, the professionals were so good at what they did that any onlookers might have had a difficult time distinguishing between the confessionals and the professionals. You couldn't have told the difference. In fact, because the professionals provided visual signs of mourning by the rending of their garments, their grief might have been even more believable than that of the confessional, who was truly grieving in his heart. So you've got both confessionals and professionals impacting the emotions of the onlookers. Have you ever been somewhere where somebody cried? You didn't even know what they were saying, but you cried too? This is mainly a thing that ladies do. It's happened in our church where a lady says something, and she starts crying, and what are all the other ladies doing? And the guys are going, why are you all crying? And really, it's because she is, or he is. That's not manufactured, but it is impacting. It impacts you. And sometimes we don't even know why. Jesus himself was moved to tears by genuine mourning. He was going to not a funeral. He was going to a home of someone who had died. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And when he got there, he saw Mary weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, he wasn't weeping just because they were weeping, but that was part of it. Because it says afterward, then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Was that a confessional weeping or a professional weeping? It was confessional. Jesus wept with them that wept. That's what we're told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. The key is with them. Not for them, with them. Folks, it is not praying that brings revival. And it sounds like I'm shifting gears here, and I am just a little bit. We think that if we would just all be praying all the time, that that would bring revival. But now to wake you up even better, let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Keep turning in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1, and then I'm going to read some other verses too that I've got written out. It is not praying that brings revival, but genuine repentance, confessional. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well," and so forth. Verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It is not praying that brings revival. It is genuine repentance. Being a confessional believer, God can discern between the confessional and professional believer. Because he's the only one who reads your heart. This is what the Bible was saying in 1 Samuel 16:7, when the Bible says that Samuel brings all the sons of Jesse before Samuel. And Samuel's thinking in his heart when Eliab comes out, this nice, tall, oh, he's kingly. And he says, this must be the one God has chosen. And here's God's answer. "The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And so, folks, God is not impressed. When you weep, if it's not from the heart. Look at verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 1. "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." So go ahead and pray. Go ahead and spread your, go ahead, raise your hands like some people do in a service. Many times for show. It's manufactured. I'm not saying that sometimes that's not genuine. If that's genuine, woe be to me to stop it. But so many times it's a manufactured thing. And I know it because I talk to people later who know that person. They say, that guy, he is the most unspiritual man in our church. It's a show. God is not impressed. He says, "I will not hear you." And so I say again, praying alone does not bring revival. Genuine repentance does. It's that confessional believer, not a professional believer. Because the Bible says your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Proverbs 1:28, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." That's from a professional. Micah 3:4, "Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings." One last verse, Zechariah 7:13, "Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts." When we pray, God knows your heart. You may have everybody else fooled, but you cannot fool him. You may be a professional Christian, and maybe there's someone here who does not really know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what? You're a really good professional. But God knows you. And one day it's going to come out. And if it's not here on this earth, it will when you stand before him. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." You are a professional. But you are fake.